can't be my disciple. And we studied that, and that's a hard saying, that he wants us to pick up our cross. And we talked about our cross. Your cross is different than anybody else's cross. He wants you to pick up your cross and follow. If anyone, go back to the next one, if you can. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross, denying ourselves. And then Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and said, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And we talked about, it's not the dependence on our wealth, but it's our dependence on God. So today's passage, follow me, I think it's going to be a little bit lighter, a little bit easier for you to go, okay, Pastor Dave's not, pushing us so hard about following me. Let's set the context, because we're going to look at John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 12, and we'll probably spend all of our time just on one verse, but let's set the context. In John chapter 8, the beginning, the first 11 verses is a story of a woman that's caught in adultery, and she's drug out in front of the crowd, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are testing Jesus, and they say, the law says that we must stone her. That means they must kill her because she's caught in sin. Now, that's radical. Say, we're going to kill somebody because they're caught in sin. And they say, what do you say, Jesus? And Jesus doesn't really say too much. He says, well, you, all you people without any sin, can cast the first stone. And then he gets down and he starts kneeling in the sand and he's writing in the sand, it says. Now, the scriptures don't tell us what he writes in the sand. I think he writes aphiemi. That's the Greek word for forgiven. And as he's writing in the sand, you can hear thud, 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 all the rocks dropping out of the people's hands. And he looks up at the woman that's standing next to him, and he says, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, well, I have none. And it's a profound statement. He says, well, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. I think we skim over that, and I'm really not preaching on that today, but how often do we want to hear that? In our own life. How often we want to hear Jesus say, Dave, I don't condemn you. You're excused for your sin. Just go and sin no more. That's radical. Don't miss. I mean, I put it up there. You talk about outrageous grace. That story, John chapter 8, 1 through 11. Go read the story. Radical, outrageous grace. The woman is caught in sin, and he says, all of you without any sin, go ahead and cast the stone. And he writes, I don't know. My translation is he's writing forgiven. Because he says to the woman, I don't accuse you either. Just go and sin no more. So I said that's outrageous grace, reckless love, radical mercy. And I think we all want to hear those words. So I want you to hear this today. You're forgiven. That's what Jesus would say. You're forgiven. Just go and sin no more. So that sets the stage for our passage here. And Jesus is teaching. We've been following Jesus all around the Sea of Galilee. And now when we open John chapter 8, he's not around the Sea of Galilee anymore. He's in Jerusalem. He's in Jerusalem and he's going there for the Feast of Tabernacles. They had 7 feasts, and this is one of the main feasts. It was a feast to remind them of the harvest, like what we're celebrating this fall, the harvest. And we're praying for all my friends, the farmers. They've been writing. They've been having a hard harvest in Illinois trying to get the corn and the beans in when it's snowing. So we need to pray for the harvest. So they celebrate the harvest. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus goes to Jerusalem. And just prior, before he tells the woman that her sins are forgiven, he tells them a great I am statement. He says, I am the bread of life. It's the next slide. He says, I am the bread of life. You want to go to the next slide, Jaden? I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not be hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's one of the seven great I am statements in John chapter 6. So he says this, he gives forgiveness to the woman, and then he gives his second great I am statement in John. We're going to pick it up at that time. John chapter 8, verses 12 through 30. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him, here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid, because you had to have two witnesses in their culture. And he's saying, I am the light of the world. They're saying, your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered them, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. Think of the woman caught in her sin and how Jesus judges. Boy, we could learn a lot on how Jesus judges in our own life. He says, you judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. Verse 16, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where's your Father? You do not know me or know my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you'll look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. That's a tough verse, chapter 8, 24. If you don't believe, verse 25, who are you? They asked. Just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I will tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Jesus is in the temple. He's not along the Sea of Galilee. He's back for the Feast of Tabernacles, a festival. And he's in the temple where they take the offering. They had these seven stands, and they took up the offering, and they would bring in their offering and offer up their tithe. And then they would celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. He's there standing in front of all the Jewish people. And he says, I am the light of the world. But in this part of the temple, the courtyard, it was called the women's court because it was the largest part of the temple, there were four large candelabras, like menorahs, and they stood about, the wall of the courtyard was about 20 feet tall. And these candelabras stood about 20 feet in the air. And the youngest priest would carry the oil up to the candelabra, 65 liters of oil. And when they would light that candelabra, actually the four in the four corners of the courtyard, it would light up all of Jerusalem. And they did it to remind the people of what God did for them in their wilderness wandering. Because when they crossed over for 40 years, there was a cloud by day and a fire by night that guided them. And many scholars say that even during the day, the fire was in the cloud, but the sun kind of blocked out that fire. But there was a fire by night that guided them, that protected them. When the Egyptian army came to capture the Israelites, the cloud of fire stood between them and the Egyptians. The fire gave them warmth. The fire gave them direction. The fire gave them comfort. The fire was their light. The fire was, the light was from God. And now Jesus is standing in the temple, and he says, those four candelabras are not the light. I am the light. How radical. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? He says, I'm going to be your comfort. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to give you warmth. I'm going to be your shelter. I'm going to be your light. I am the light of the world. A radical claim for what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world. What he's saying is the Shekinah glory that guided the Israelites for 40 years in their wilderness wandering would come and guide them. And I think many of them, and even like us today, think we're wandering. Maybe sometimes we think, where is God? When we're wandering around. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the Shekinah glory of God. I am the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God filled the temple after Solomon built it, and it came down out of heaven and filled the temple. And what Jesus is saying to them and what he's saying to us is he wants to fill the temple. I am the light of the world. I want to be your Shekinah glory, but I don't want to stop there. I want to go to the second half of that. I think I have a slide. Keep going, Jaden. There's the temple. This is what the Shekinah glory looked like. They lit every year. This goes on. It's called Sukkoth, the valley, or the Feast of Tabernacles. Every year they light the candles to remind them that God was their light. They still do. And Jesus says, no, I am the light. I am the light. Go back one slide, please. So he says, I am the light of the world. That's his radical claim. But don't miss the claim. This is where I want to stop today. Don't miss the claim of what he says for you. Do you see the second half? He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I'm going to give you comfort. I'm going to give you guidance. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to give you warmth. The whoever is a profound word in Greek, ho. But you know what he's saying? It doesn't matter what your skin color is, whether you're black, yellow, green, red, blue, whether you're female or male, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're a slave or free, whether you're a sinner or you're a saint. It says, whoever. Whoever. What? Follows me. There it is. Akulatheo. The word we've been studying for 7 weeks. He says, if you follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. That's what it says. You'll never walk in darkness. It doesn't say that you won't go through hard times. It doesn't say that you might walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say that you might not go through pain or suffering or an operation or surgery. It says that you will never walk in darkness. But so often the enemy wants to come in with the shadow of doubt and the shadow of fear and the what ifs about this procedure or this procedure or this procedure or this person or and try to cover up the light. Look at the promise, he says, whoever follows. The Greek akulatheo is a present active verb. So it means whoever follows me today, whoever follows me tomorrow, whoever follows me this hour, and then maybe in 2 hours you stop following, darkness comes. Whenever you stop following Jesus, it's hard. When you stop following the light, it's hard to be in the light. Right? It's a simple principle. He makes the claim, I am the light of the world, and then he gives you a claim. Whoever follows me, whoever. There's no restrictions, no rules, no regulations, no requirements. There's no responsibilities. All you have to do is follow. Follow him. And you'll never walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life. I want to share a story I don't think I've ever shared. It was November. It was the fall of 1993, and you've heard some of my story, how God was calling me. And this was 70 days before I got the call to go to seminary. We had taken our daughter to college down at Northeast Missouri State University. Now it's Truman State in Kirksville, Missouri. That's where we went to college. That's where... Jenny, our daughter, lived for a couple years while we were in college. She went to the same college we went to. And we were driving home from parents' weekend in November of 1993. It was her sophomore year. And we'd traveled these roads through Northeast Missouri and Southeast Iowa. It's like Asia, I guess. Southeast Iowa. I know all the towns, and then you hit up Interstate 80 just by Iowa City, and then you turn and go east and then go north to Rochelle. It's a 6 hour, 7 hour drive. We had just left Kirksville, and we were just crossed the state line into Iowa. I think we were around Ottumwa, and I said to Don Eddy this morning, I'm going to use his name, there's a little town just outside of Ottumwa called Eddyville. Eddyville. Now, I didn't know Eddie, you know, Mr. Eddie. I didn't know Don Eddie. I'd never met Mr. Don Eddie. But it was between Ottumwa and Eddyville, this cloud lit up. It lit up the night. I said to my wife, I'm driving, I said, do you see this? And we slowed down, and the cloud slowed down. We went fast, and the cloud went fast. And Highway 63 goes east, and it goes west, and it goes north, and the cloud was leading us. We got on Interstate 80, and we turned east to head to Interstate 88, and the cloud turned east. And I'm on the Interstate 80, and I go 80, and it seems like it's going 80. And I slow down, I mean, it's out my window the whole time. I slow down to 50, and it slowed down. I mean, I had these cold chills all over me. I turned north on Interstate 88. It turns north. This went on for over 250 miles, 252 miles to be exact, from Ottumwa, Iowa to Rochelle. This cloud lit up. It was dark night, about 11 o'clock at night, and this cloud was like leading. And listen, I'm not crazy, okay? It slowed down when I slowed down. When I stopped for gas, it stopped. I hadn't heard the total call, and I hadn't received the call to go to seminary to be a pastor. We had signed the paper, God will go wherever you go, and we'll go in 4 years. But all of a sudden, in November of 1993, this cloud is leading us for 4 hours. It turns, I mean, we turn, it turns, it stops, we stop, it slows down when we slow down. I'm not crazy. I saw this. And we pull into Rochelle, we go by the family business on the south edge of town, and there's a overpass over the railroad tracks, and the town water tower is right there. And it stopped. We drove on. 70 days later, I got this call, Dave, would you like to go to seminary and be a pastor? As I reflect back 93, how many years that is, I can see in the rearview mirror that God was saying, will you follow me? Will you follow me? Will you follow me every day? Will you follow me every hour? Will you follow me when it's dark so I can light up your life? Will you follow me when there's pain so that I can comfort you? Will you follow me when you're worrying so I can hold you? Now, see, that's what he says to me. That's what that verse says to me. Jesus says, these candelabras are gonna burn down, but I'll never burn out. I will always, forever and ever be the light of the world. And whoever, no rules, no regulations, no requirements, no stipulations, whoever, it's a great word, follows me, I will light up their life. It happened to me. And I think it happens to you more often than you know, that God lights up your life. It could be a phone call, it could be a text message, it could be an email, it could be a visit, it could be someone just smiling at you at the grocery store. And God says, I'm right here. See, I love you. I haven't forgotten you. So what? So what do we do with all this follow me stuff? I love reading history. And there were two reformers in the 1500s. Their names were Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer, and they were reformers, and they were part of the Protestant Reformation. We talked about the Reformation, and they, when Mary took over, Queen Mary, and called Bloody Mary, the Reformation people suffered a lot. That's why she's called Bloody Mary. And so she captured Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer, which really they didn't have a lot to do with each other. They knew each other. One was a professor and priest at Columbia, and the other one was just another priest that was teaching. And she put him in prison, and then they were asked to recant, to deny their faith, and they could go free. And I have it written down, but Latimer said, I cannot deny what Christ has done in my life. And they said, well, if you don't deny your faith, you'll be burned at the stake. And that's what they did back in the 1500s, 1555 to be exact. So they took Latimer and Ridley and they chained them to a post with a chain, not ropes. And Latimer says to Ridley, be of good cheer. We're going to light a fire in England that will never be put out. Listen, you're here today because of people like Latimer and Ridley who stood for their faith. And they said, we're going to light a fire. We're going to be a light that will never be put out. I don't know what God is going to ask you to do. I don't think he's going to ask you to be burned at the stake. I don't think we have those trials here in America. But I have a so what. You want to go to it, Jaden? Keep going for a couple more slides. Jesus is the one who will help us through our wilderness wanderings. That's what he teaches us. Jesus is the one who kneels down and writes forgiven in the sands of our lives and tells us that we're not condemned. Just go on and stop sinning. What a wonderful words of life. Those words are given before, it's in 8:11, he says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And then in 8:12, he says, hey everybody, I'm the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness because I'll be the light of their life. So how do we continue to walk in the light today, tomorrow, and forever? I think it's pretty simple. And I've been teaching on it for 7 weeks. It's two simple words. Follow me. Look up instead of looking down. Look up instead of looking around. Look up and see the light in your wandering. It personally happened to me. I think it happens to you. And it probably happened in Eddyville. And look what God did. He was sending me to Eddy. Right? Let us pray. Lord, we come to this communion table and help us to look up and see the light. Let us look up and not allow our doubts and our fears, our hurt and our pain and our past to hold us back. Lord, let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Let us have eyes to see what the Spirit is doing. Let us follow you and walk in the light as you are the light. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon these common, ordinary elements and sanctify them, set them apart for our use, that in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup, our hearts will be warmed. We give thanks for the apostles and the prophets and the teachers, and we give thanks for Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer and all of the people that proclaimed their faith by walking in the light. Help us, Lord, to proclaim our faith. And we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took a cup, And he said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant. Poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Whenever you eat this bread or you drink this cup, you proclaim forth the saving death of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. We do communion by intinction, and so we invite you to come forward, take a piece of the bread, the body of Christ broken for you, and dip it into the cup, the blood of Christ shed for you. And we do have gluten-free wafers, and if you'd like to have personal communion over here, we have a station for that if you'd just like to have personal or a family communion. Today, our communion servers are our youth. We've been teaching them, and so your youth are going to share in the sacrament. They're going to give you the elements of communion today. So I'm going to ask our communion servers to come up first, and then I'll ask our worship team to come up, and then we'll ask you to come forward. Okay, we'll invite our worship team to come forward, and we ask you after the worship team has come forward that you would come and partake of the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you.